Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Grant and Danny. We're going to be looking ahead to tomorrow's college slate, Sunday around the NFL as we continue. But let's kick off our Beltway Blitz right now on the gridiron. Nikki Javala, awesome job covering the WFT for the Washington Post. Nikki, Danny and I were just talking about this during the break. They beat the Saints. That's a really good win. And at 3-2, I don't think there's any way anyone could have reasonably expected them to have been any better than that through five games. Do you think that's fair?
I think that's totally fair. And the way I look at the way you look at the way they've played, honestly, they hate to say it, they don't necessarily deserve to be 3-2. I mean, you know, a couple of those throws end up as picks, and they could easily be 0-4 at this point. So, yeah, I think that would put them in a good spot. I think they'd be fortunate to be in that spot, and then they face, you know, Murderer's Row with the quarterbacks after that. But it would be very good for them to be sitting at 3-2 after this week.
So what if they don't win? I mean, it's a toss-up game. I think the Saints are favored by a point or two or whatever it is. It's not crazy that they might drop this one. What happens if they lose? How should we feel?
I think it depends more on how they play. Mm. Like, if they lose and that defense looks better, if that third down defense improves significantly, I think it'd be more palatable, even though it's a loss. But if they continue to play the way they do and still loss, I think, you know, it would not be good. There would not be a lot of happy people over there. So, if they keep it respectable and they show improvement, especially on that defensive side, you know, I don't know that a loss would be terrible. It's certainly not preferable, but, you know, I think cleaning up a lot of the mistakes is almost more important than a win or loss at this point.
Nikki, it goes without saying that they'll be better probably the rest of the year defensively than they've been to this point. But I don't really see a ceiling in the top 10 or like top 12 in terms of performance the rest of the way. I just want to gauge your thoughts on this. I don't look at this defense and see the crazy talent everybody else does. I get that they have some talented guys up front. The back seven is not a difference-making quality group, really. I mean, is that a hot take?
I think they have talented individuals, but collectively, I would agree with that. I mean, I do think their line is grossly underperforming still, especially from what we've seen from that same group last year. You know they're capable of much more than they said as much, but I think that secondary is, frankly, kind of a mess right now. And it's because of things that can be corrected, which is good. I think they have the talent to play the way they want, but until they correct those little things, be it missed assignments, miscommunication, blown coverages, whatever it is, they're always going to be, you know, subpar and worse than subpar. I mean, I don't think they could get to top 10 level just because of how far down they are right now. I mean, they are one of the worst in the league in most every, you know, except for rushing defense or, you know, at the bottom of the league. So it's going to take a bit to get it back up there.
Nikki, myriad injuries, it seems. A lot of guys questionable, some ruled out. Who are they going to miss the most?
Probably Logan Thomas being on IR. I think that hurts significantly. He's not only you know, big body receiver, red zone threat, but, you know, just being out there, he creates so many other opportunities for others. And, you know, throw on top of that, you're down two receivers with Deami Brown and Cam Sims both out. Curtis Samuel's questionable, still dealing with that groin injury. But I think the loss of Logan for at least a few weeks will be felt.
Nikki, keep up the good work. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll be reading your work in the Washington Post. Let's continue on the Blitz. Talk a little football. Our guy, Nate Davis. You can read his work in the USA Today. Longtime friend of the show. Nate, I thought we could bounce around to a couple good games this weekend with you, starting with the Bills and the Chiefs. Sunday night football. They did it again. They got the game everybody wants to watch, Buffalo and Kansas City. Who do you favor here?
I think it'll be close, guys. I picked Kansas City. I think it could go either way. I know a lot of people are kind of hopping on the Bills bandwagon this time. I still need to see a little more. I think they've won their last three games, like 118-21. But with Houston and with Miami without Tua, you know, I kind of have to throw two of those out. So I'm kind of looking for the Bills to kind of have a good prove-it game and showing that maybe they're the AFC front-runner if they could pull this off.
Nate, I think Denver's okay, right? They beat up three bad teams, had a tough test this past weekend, didn't pass it. Is Pittsburgh in kind of a death rattle here, or do they kind of end up having a season because Mike Tomlin brings everyone together by the bootstraps and they win like a 3-2 kind of game this weekend?
It's possible, Danny. I mean, Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season in his career. Obviously, he's sitting at 1-3 right now. And you kind of thought, you know, we all had kind of the doom and gloom ideas in the offseason. I certainly thought they were a third or fourth place team. And then they beat Buffalo there in week one. You think maybe they're going to be okay. But you mentioned Denver. I mean, their defense is pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. And given the way that Ben Roethlisberger is playing, given how poor that offensive line is, I think that they're this could be. I hate saying do or die, particularly in week five, but I mean this is going to be a real test for them against a team that they barely beat last year when Drew Lock got hurt up there in Pittsburgh. So I'm kind of giving Denver the edge here, but I think Pittsburgh really needs this game.
Nate, I love this Browns-Chargers game. I think this might be my favorite game of the weekend because of the juxtaposition of styles. You've got the Browns who want to run the ball and be physical and play unbelievable defense, and the Chargers who want to spread you out and win a bunch of shootouts this year. How do you view this one unfolding?
I think I picked Cleveland 24-23 in this one, Grant, and largely self-serving because I picked Cleveland to win the AFC at the beginning of the year. But I'm kind of with you. I enjoy both teams. You know, it's great to see the Chargers on national TV for a change and to see, you know, Justin Herbert, you know, maybe kind of knocking at the door already of being a top five quarterback in this league. But like you said, quite a contrast in styles. And I think, you know, I think for Cleveland, everyone's kind of obsessing over Baker Mayfield. He's not playing that well. You know, the big miss with OBJ last week, the shoulder, et cetera. But I think the real story with them is that defense is really coming together nicely. Maybe you don't take too much stock in them beating Justin Fields in his first start, but to limit that Minnesota Vikings offense last week to 7 points and less than 260 yards kind of tells me that they've really arrived. So I think, like you said, this should be a fun game to watch, and you know, two teams that are approaching the game very differently. But I'm going to roll with Cleveland on this, but to me, it's a coin flip.
Circling back just real quick on Mayfield, if you picked him to win the AFC, you like him a lot more than I do. Well, where am I wrong? I don't get it. I don't see it. I think if he didn't go first, we would talk about him very differently, and they're going to pay him, and I think that's a huge mistake. Feel free to tell me I'm an idiot, but, like, what am I missing here?
Well, I don't know that you're missing anything, Grant. I mean, I don't think that he's in the top 10 conversation for quarterbacks in the league. You know, obviously hasn't been paid yet, but, I mean, to me, I see a team that reminds me more of those old you know, Seattle teams when Russell Wilson was a young player, and you're not – I mean, when I think of the Browns, I don't think of Baker Mayfield as a guy – that's got to lead him there. I mean, he's got to be there. But, I mean, to me, this is a team that's going to win with defense, running the ball, and I think, you know, arguably perhaps the best roster, 1-53 in the league.
Yeah, their defense is great. Like, Myles Garrett might be the DPOY.
I think so. I mean, he was my pick for that as well. I mean, the 4.5 sack game already. So I don't think this team's going to go to the promised land because Baker Mayfield's throwing for 350 and 4 touchdowns a week. I think they're going to go there because they're winning games like they are right now, 25-7 or whatever.
Nate, thank you, buddy, as always, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Always
appreciate
it. Keep killing
it, Nate. Thanks, bro.
Let's do it one more WFT situation, Darius. Our pal Rick Snyder covers that Washington football team. Rick, what if they don't win this weekend? What's it going to mean for the rest of the season?
Well, I don't think you pin anything on this game. It's a toss-up game. They could win it. They could lose it. It would be nice if they could get ahead of 500 because then we start watching the big boys come through here. So, but in terms of the whole season, I don't think it means anything.
Rick, we're going to be asking our listeners this next segment. I want to get ahead of it with you. Buy or sell, this is going to be the defense's best game of the season so far.
Sell. Does that mean I say no?
It does.
Okay, so. No, I think this is the kind of quarterback that really gives him problems because he's a little unpredictable. You know, he could have a good game or a bad game, but they really won't know how to mess with it, right? If De'Ron Payne doesn't play, I think that really hurts him a lot because I think he's their best lineman right now. And their linebacking is just a jumbled mess. And their secondary is. I mean, I'm surprised how bad this back seven is because the front four hasn't performed so well. They look really lost in space. So I don't expect anything. I love how Rivera talks about everybody positively. Well, that's his deal as a coach. But everybody's doing good things and everybody's this and that. And they're giving up 30 points every week. This defense is a mess. And then I don't think they know how to get out of it. It's going to be a struggle all year.
Rick, how long does Taylor Heinicke have to play like this? Well, I would say he's done pretty well. One bad game around some pretty good performances and you know, he's been solid to even really good in middle of the pack in terms of a lot of rankings and grades like that. How does he kind of keep elevating himself in the minds maybe of this fan base, this coaching staff, to be more than just the guy for right now, but the guy?
It's going to take a lot because it's like Kurt Warner. He played great for years and people wouldn't give him credit. You know, when you start in the lower end of the league, it's hard to get your reputation up high. It's all that where you drafted on in people's minds. It's not a fair system, but look at Warner. I mean, I thought Warner was a Hall of Famer early, and it took forever to get it going. He took two teams. I think Heinicke could play well this whole year, and there'll still be a lot of talk about do you draft the guy instead of letting him stay on. I don't know that he'll ever really reach that level.
I saw your tweet when you were telling your followers that you were coming on the show. It said you wanted to convince me which cookie was best during the holiday season? Which cookie are you advocating for?
Well, for the holidays, gingerbread men, because there's nothing better than biting the head off a gingerbread man. Tell me there's something better than that.
A chocolate chip cookie, for one.
Nah, then you break off his arms and his legs and you eat them. I mean, it's great. Come on, man. Come on, Danny. Help me out on this one. Biting the head off a gingerbread man is the best one.
Here's the thing, Rick. I can't stand agreeing with Grant on culinary takes.
Oh,
so you have to know that this kills me. Gingerbread cookies are a big waste of time. It's a high effort, low reward, minimum upside kind of thing. There are so many other cookies that I think pummel gingerbread men. The act of violence that you're talking about is fun, though, I will
eating,
say.
The biting the head, I get where that's fun.
Yeah, that's a good bit.
Yeah, well, we can't have thin mints all year. You got to change up for the holidays. And it can't be pumpkin something or other. Forget that.
You and I are in lockstep there. That page of the book, we're going to agree.
Nothing's better than biting the head off a gingerbread man. That'll be on my tombstone.
I'll tell you, I'll sit there laughing, staring. I'm going, Rick, you got me. That's good. Thank you, buddy.
There you go. So I win. Thanks. All right. Bye, boys.
See you. Rick Snyder.
Here lies Rick Snyder. Bought the heads off those gingerbread men.
That's really, really funny. All right. Let's do it next. Are you buying? Are you selling? You with us? You're against us? Sunday, the defense plays its best game of the season. Danny will tell us if he buys or sells. I'll do the same. And then it's up to you. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. Take out a shovel. Dig into this defense on Grant and Danny.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think the secondary, mostly the safeties, and William Jackson would probably be the biggest components to the Washington football team not really living up or really anywhere close to meeting the expectations that a lot of people, including myself, had for that group heading into the season.
That's Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports. He joined us on Grant and Danny this week to talk about this defense. You know who he was really down on after watching the film was William Jackson.
Yeah.
I think he's been really inconsistent. There have been some great moments, some bad moments. Week one against the Chargers, he made some huge plays, actually, to keep Washington in that game. But I understand if you watch him and you go, you're paying him $14 million, you're looking for top-shelf performance. Here's the question for you guys. Gambit DC listener lines open. We'll get to Heinicke. That's one of the two big stories with this team at 6 o'clock. Right now, spotlight on this defense. They have been bad. We came into this year thinking they were really good. The hope was this team could accomplish all of its goals and make the playoffs and surpass last season's exploits because this defense would carry them. They haven't won a playoff game since 2005. They will this year, a lot of people said, because they're going to have one of the best defenses in the league. They invested in the defense. First-round pick year after year. Money, $14 million at corner. A first-round pick this year at linebacker. The defense has laid one egg after another. So, Danny, here's the question. Last week we said this will be the get-right game. Trust us. They were playing the 28th-ranked offense in the league that now ranks 24th because they went up in the standings.
Uh-huh.
This week they get to play the 28th-ranked offense again. Different team, the Saints. The Saints offense has scuffled. Buy or sell, the defense has the best of the five games it will have played as of Sunday this weekend against Jameis Winston in New Orleans.
Giants came in having barely been able to move the football against Denver. Casually scored 29, could have been more. Bills couldn't get out of their own way for the first few weeks. Rung the bell for 43, could have been 60. Atlanta Falcons, bad offensive team as you alluded to. They're not as bad anymore. The ranking is a little bit better. The idea that this defense will get right despite a promising matchup, I defer to the immortal words of Randolph Duke from Trading Places when he said, what'd he say, Darius? Oh, Darius, we rehearsed this thing. You want me to do the lead in again? I'll do it again. Okay.
Wait, did you prepare something?
We quite literally prepared something.
Oh.
All right. Here we go.
I love that you prepared
something. The idea that this group would all of a sudden get right, figure it out, and not let a bunch of guys that aren't particularly good in the passing game have a career day, I defer to the words, the immortal words.
I wonder whose words he's going to defer
to. Of Randolph Duke.
Get back in there at once and sell, sell.
The crop report came out, and it was a fake. Sell. No. They don't get right. They can't get right. They don't have it in them. They won't be even close. Here comes the banner day. People in New Orleans won't be asking any questions about their offense for a little while because they'll be dining out off this one for a few weeks.
What was that? I don't even know what the guy said. That was a huge setup for... I don't even know what that guy said. That audio.
Get back in there at once and sell, sell!
Pretty clear.
Is that a famous line that everyone listening knows?
Yeah, if you've seen Trading Places. It turns out nobody that I work with has, by the way. Darius stunned. Ryan, of course, has seen nine things.
20 years ago. Yeah. I thought it was great. I should watch it again soon. I don't remember that.
It's the moment when Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murray get over on the Dukes.
How much planning went into that?
30 seconds worth.
Okay.
Then we watched the video and I got him to rip the audio and it blew up in my face.
Okay. But you're going with sell.
Selling. Sell.
I'm buying on this. And it's not because I have faith in this defense as much as you might think. It's really twofold. Number one, and this is most important, the Saints offense is not great. Number two, secondarily, they've played that bad in the other games. That just by being pretty good would far and away be
or regular
better than
bad.
What they've done.
Regular bad would win.
Yeah. Last week, you gave up 30 points to the Falcons, and Matt Ryan looked like he found the fountain of youth. 283-4. Cordarrelle Patterson, a random return man who's a... He doesn't even have a position because he's not really a running back and he's not really a wide receiver. He's just a guy. He doesn't really do anything but return stuff. He was a Hall of Fame level world-eating presence last week for the Falcons. They will play their best game defensively this week. I don't think it'll be enough because I don't think they're going to dominate New Orleans, but I think they'll generate a couple takeaways. I think they'll be better on third downs. I think the Saints will have like 294 yards, something like that. And I think New Orleans probably wins the game close. But they will not be embarrassed. We're not going to come in here screaming about how awful the defense was for the first time this season. I'm confident in that. So let's go to Landon. Let's break the tie here. Landon, buy or sell, this will be the best game we've seen from this defense yet.
I say sell. Sorry to put McCool's out on your rug, Danny, trade places. But I say sell. They'll be good. They'll be good. They'll get a few takeaways, you know, but I don't think it'll be enough to really turn around their season right now. But let me say this real quick, and I'll let you guys have it. I think we all should just kind of back off a little bit because they did the same thing last year, and they're still managing to tread water. Plus, their two losses are AFC losses. So when it comes down to the thick of things later on the season, they're pretty much sitting in a good position right now.
Well, here's why last year is different. And by the way, that's something Ron Rivera is throwing out there. He's saying, like, you guys aren't talking about the fact that our defense started to slow last year and this. Week one, last year.
Feeding frenzy.
They sacked Carson Wentz 7 times. Combined, their top pass rushers. I don't mean two. I mean like the big group, all the guys. They've got fewer than 7 sacks through a month. Last year, their backup defensive end had a multi-sack game in week one. Ryan Kerrigan, who's not here anymore. Because everybody was meeting at Carson Wentz. There was blood in the water, and they were just a bunch of sharks. Dunham, dunham, dunham. And they just all met at Carson Wentz over and over again and feasted on that dude as he threw multiple picks. That game was 3 times as good as any game they've played to this point. Now, the next week, they did really struggle with the Cardinals, but it wasn't to this extent. They gave up 285 to Kyler Murray, but they picked him off. He threw 1 touchdown pass. It wasn't this. When they played the Browns scored 34. Looked really bad, right? You look back on that game, you're like, oh, that was so gross. Short fields galore because Dwayne Haskins threw 3 picks and gave him no chance. Baker Mayfield threw for 156 yards in that game. It was not this.
It ain't this.
So, yes, I've heard that too. I know that they're trying to play that where they go, well, last year our defense started slow too and they got better.
Yeah. Well, they did last year.
They got a lot better last year.
This ain't that.
The team collectively, I agree with that. They started slow. They were great by the end of the year, playing really hard, made the playoffs, gave the Bucs a little fight. That's all cool. This defense cannot be compared to last year's defense. It's night and day. You have nothing to hang your hat on. Chase Young is sackless. You've had, I'd say, 2 defensive linemen who have been consistently really good circuit to circuit. And I'm putting Montez Sweat in that category, so maybe that's a little bit favorable to him. The other's John Allen. You've already lost a linebacker for the year. Your first-round linebacker looks lost. That's a position where you're weak right now. And your secondary is not playing as well as it did last year. Last year, Ronald Darby was off to a better start, who they let walk, by the way, because they didn't want to pay him $10 million, than William Jackson's off to, who they signed for $14 million. Kendall Fuller was really good on the outside last year. They kicked him inside. He has not been as good inside as outside. This is not a thing. We're talking ourselves into something that doesn't exist if we're saying, this is exactly how it was last year. Uh-uh. PJ's in Reston. What's up, PJ? PJ, you there? Throwing you on hold.
PJ.
Let's go to Bobby and Alexandria on the fan.
Bye-bye.
Buy or sell best defensive game yet on Sunday?
Like I'm selling unless one of you fellas go over to Hover Mills on 210 going down into Maryland. It's only a mile and a half off the beltway. Get ice cream for your kids and let your wife take care of that while you go next door and just take a bucket of balls. They got a driving range right there. It's old school. It's been there forever. It's the best ice cream. If you go there, skins win. You don't, we're going to blame it on you.
Oh, he's putting some pressure on
us. No.
I mean, there's not a lot of time to get this done.
I don't know if I can make that.
What's the name of this place?
It's Hoover Mills. It's go down Indian Head Highway, 210 to the right.
That's my stomping
ground.
Don't have
to carry your concealed weapon. Everybody there is sweet. It's a nice little place. But when you drive into that place, you'll smell the cones. You'll smell the you'll smell everything. And he closes November 1st and all the way until March and opens right back up again and has done it for 70 years. Hoover Mills. And then if you go to the golf range and hit yourself some balls while the kids are eating the ice cream, you can also go, well, let's just get some dinner right next door. Smoking Joe's. Rib Shack, best stuff you'll ever see. And I'm not saying anything like I'm promoting anything. I'm just telling you, that's where you go.
Part of the tourism board right there.
I'm going to be honest with you. All that sounds like the best day ever to me. Now, I don't know if I can swing that tomorrow. So don't you be putting that evil on me, Ricky Bobby, come Sunday, okay? If Jameis Winston throws for 356 and the Saints win going away, it's not going to be because I didn't eat that ice cream.
Yeah, like if Sean Payton actually game plans to get Alvin Kamara some receptions, it's not my fault that I didn't go hit golf balls.
By the way, can you imagine the malpractice?
Yeah.
Sean Payton's too smart. I refuse to believe that this week Kamara will not be involved in the passing game. If they don't target him 7 or 8 times, Sean Payton should be ashamed of himself as he gets back on that bus. Now, if they win and they score 40, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
His job's to be effective. They were effective enough. I just can't fathom the idea. If I'm a coach watching film of this defense, having that weapon in my locker room who's uncoverable out of the backfield, who in the heck on this team can cover a back like that?
I was talking to a Saints fan this morning, and he was basically saying he feels like Sean Payton does this, and he put this in quotes, at the beginning of a lot of seasons, where they don't look like they're going to look in a month. And it's weird, and everyone's questioning his motives, and he's got a method to the madness. I just hope he doesn't decide this week, you know, this is probably the best pass catching back that's available this week because McCaffrey's hurt. I should probably throw him the football. I hope he doesn't realize that.
I don't understand how, with their wide receivers, that wouldn't just happen by default anyway.
Same.
Let's say that he didn't game plan that. Chris Hogan, the lacrosse guy from the Patriots like 4 years ago.
Lax Pro.
He's catching passes for you? Ty Montgomery, the old half running back, half receiver, Cordarrelle Patterson dude from the Packers like 6 years ago, that guy's catching passes for you?
A lot of Juwan Johnson.
Who's that? I got a better idea.
Who's that?
Throw it to Alvin Kamara. Paul, Southern Maryland, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, dude.
So if Del Rio trots the same obsolete zone defense back out onto the field, I'm with Randolph Duke and sell, sell, sell. But if he's able to put a product on the field where they let him play man, play to their strengths, pin the guy's ears back like Chase Young and Montez Sweat and send him after the quarterback, I'm going to say go Jim Cramer on Mad Money and bye, bye, bye.
Nice. Well done. Thank you, buddy.
Tip of the cap.
800-636-1067. Here's what I want to do on the defensive side next. Refresh a little bit of the angle here. Does Chase Young get a sack on Sunday? Yes or no? This will be the simplest, easiest call you've ever made. All you got to do is call in and say yes or no. Does Chase Young get a sack? 800-636-1067. Will the wait end? 800-636-1067. Will we finally get a raindrop?
We had one last week. It got taken away. Bad penalty.
The roughing penalty.
Because
he was so rough.
He's very rough.
With Matt Ryan. And we'll predict, let's do this. We'll predict his sack total at the end of the season.
Oh, okay.
Will he get on a run? Will he not? That's next on Grant and Danny. I say yes. This is the week Chase Young gets a sack.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
And I'll do you one better. Chase Young will get not one sack.
Oh, come on.
Two sacks against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday for Chase Young.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
It's going to happen. I think the first sack he gets is a, like, the Jameis Winston's doing that. I'm holding the ball, and now I got pressured off the edge, and now John Allen's here, and I'm kind of turtling in the wrong direction, and Chase Young just scoops him up and drops him. And I think the second sack comes in the third quarter, second half of the game, big spot. Chase Young, listen to me right now, Danny. If you hear nothing I say, listen to this.
I'm making eye contact. I'm listening to you.
Clean win one-on-one.
What?
Off the edge, drills Jameis Winston.
Like a real defensive end for true?
Two sacks.
I wouldn't say that.
Thank you, Coach.
Two sacks, one clean win as a pass rusher this week for Chase Young.
Now, you're not going to believe my prediction on this.
I might believe it.
Yes. He's going to sack the quarterback.
Oh, I'm surprised. Okay.
In fact, I'm predicting a Theo flurry of sacks starting this week. It's like being a center in basketball. You can't line up as a defensive lineman and not end up with any sacks. It's going to happen.
No, but I'm not saying that he's getting two. I'm saying two this week. You're saying this week he gets a sack.
He gets one this week, and he's going to go on a little run where he gets a couple here, a couple there.
How many will he end up with?
For the season?
Yeah.
I think my initial season projection was 9.5. I'm going to lower that. I'm going to say 8. But he's going to sack the quarterback.
8 would be a nice run.
He's going to sack the quarterback.
I had him at 10.5. That is being lowered. I'm going to say he gives you 7.5 sacks this year. And the first two of them come on Sunday. Let's go to John in Stafford. Will Chase Young do something we haven't seen him do since last year? The year of 2020.
No.
No.
No, 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 no.
By the way, he cackled, said no, and hung up. He laughed. That was the extent of it. He had nothing else to say.
Oh.
All right, let's go to Jerry, who's in D.C. Jerry, sacks are very hard to come by. Most defensive ends, they never get one. They just can't. Will Chase Young scale that mountain this week?
Yes, and Grant, you're pushing it with two, but yes, he has to. What else can he do? He has to do it this week.
Well, Jerry, what he could do is not get any. He's been doing a lot of that.
Four straight games of that.
No, he cannot. He cannot. He cannot. He cannot not get one.
All right, did she get her yes?
Give her the Daniel Bryan.
Yes! Yes!
Let's go to Andrew, who's in Stafford on Grant and Danny. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, bro?
I think he's going to get home. Jameis is going to hold the ball on him. But we got to remember that sacks are like, it's an empty stat, like confidence points for radio broadcasters. You can't rely on somebody just because, you know, they have the most confidence points. Otherwise, you'd be listening to producers.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Great point, Coach. Andrew,
I smell what you're cooking
buddy.
There.
We'll see if Danny actually makes his picks this week or he decides on some weird algorithm in sandbags.
I already did it. I did it. I randomized the games
cool.
and did a coin toss.
I hope you keep sandbagging the segment.
I'll provide analysis for each game.
Very exciting. Can't wait to hear Danny's big picks this week. You're right. Sacks are not the end-all be-all. We talk about that plenty on the show. But at some point, you got to get one. It's all well and good to tell me, well, what if you get doubled? And if you apply pressure, it's fine, and he can stop the run, and he's making this play. All true. At some point, you got to get a sack. I want to see you tackle a quarterback, and that guy get up slowly because he just got tackled, just to readdress his jersey, and then you get to do some kind of celebration in front of fans.
Game-changing plays. Pressure on the quarterback provides game-changing plays. There's a million ways to do it. You could do a fumble punch on a receiver or a running back.
That's not what I'm talking about.
That's not what I'm talking about either. The most efficient and best way to guarantee carnage, chaos, is pressuring the quarterback. He's quite literally drafted high. He's paid high to do that. He needs to do that immediately.
Right now, this second, I'm not talking about putting pressure on the quarterback. I'm not doing that. I understand that sacks aren't a real thing that matter as much as pressures. I want him to get a sack. Right now, he has the same number of sacks as he attended OTA workouts. Both zero. And I don't care about that. I don't care that he didn't go to OTAs. That's why I'm not going to bring it up. I'm just saying, if I cared, I would tell you he didn't go to OTAs. But in the meantime, I want a sack. Get one sack, and we never have to talk about it again. Get a sack. Look around at edge performers that are good players. Find me guys that just go a month to start the season without one. I want one. Remember the first third down of the preseason? New England Patriots, Foxborough.
Yeah.
He worked some poor tackle over. I think it was Isaiah Wynn or whatever their left tackle's name is who's good. I jumped out of my couch, stood up and screamed. And I was like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all these people on the show talking about defensive player of the year are onto something. Maybe the year I watched last year, he was just really good and isn't close to being a finished product as a pass rusher and has no moves. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe he will be the DPOY. That was the last time we've seen him win clean one-on-one. The first third down of the preseason. I want to see that again Sunday. Seth is in Richmond. Seth, will Chase Young get a sack this weekend?
Well, I will say thank you for having me, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
And Grant, you kind of stole my thunder. I was going to say that they won't get one, but he will get two.
Not one.
I am a lifelong diehard fan. I will say that one of those two will be a sack fumble, and it will be a scoop and score. Someone is taking it to the house.
Here we go.
But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Imagine the celebrating.
Can you imagine?
I mean, imagine the press conference. Imagine the amount of Instagram posts of that sack fumble. If he makes a play where they score a touchdown, please. Oh, that would be so
wonderful.
Do you
know when his last sack was?
Fun game. Wasn't in the Tampa Bay game. His name never got called. So it couldn't have been the playoff game. Let's see. Wasn't at OTAs. He wasn't there. I'm trying to think of all the commercials. There's no sacks in the commercials.
No. He like flips a tire over when he works out really hard in one of those.
But it's not in the commercials.
No.
Then I'm going to say his last sack would have been week 14 last year.
He had one against Philadelphia.
Oh!
On January 3rd.
That's the division clinching performance.
He has a sack this calendar year. Because that's what I wanted to look up. Does he have one in the year of our Lord 2021?
What?
I know. I know. He had one. In fact, he had... This is wild. Listen to this. He had sacks in consecutive games.
What?
It means more than one.
But that was before they changed the rules. You're not allowed to do that anymore.
I looked this up. Other guys are doing it.
No. But you're not allowed to do that anymore on this team. They changed that.
What? Oh, I see. Did they announce that at OTAs? Because I didn't.
No, I
didn't
know
either.
At OTAs, that's when they talked about how to do it consecutively.
I see.
But I don't care that he wasn't there. I'm not.
You're not bringing it up.
You're trying to make me bring it up.
Stop not bringing it up. Wait.
I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You think I'm the kind of guy who cares that he wasn't at OTAs, and I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not going to talk about
him not being at
OTAs. You're not that guy, buddy.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Let's go to Monty in Virginia. Yes or no? Chase, sack this week. You're listening to the radio. David in Gaithersburg, yes or no, sack this week.
Chase Young will have one sack. Jonathan Allen or other interior linemen will have more than Chase Young.
Yes! Yes!
He thinks it's going to be a little feeding frenzy.
That's a good game.
We'll find out about the Saints offensive front trying to keep Jameis Winston clean. The tackles that Chase Young will be dealing with. Luke Johnson covers the Saints. He will join us at 5:25 right here on The Fan. Next, for our 5 at 5 today, we are going to tell you what the 5 best games are this weekend in football. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Keep it right here on The Fan.
What?
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.